Welcome to Day 10 of the Healing Trauma Course, The Still Point Method, with Lynn Fraser. In the first session, I talked about that definition from Dr. Gabor Mate. The effect of trauma is that we disconnect from ourselves, from our sense of value, and from the present moment. To heal trauma, we need to work with the difficulty. We don't need to go back through every single event and every single memory, that's for sure. We do need to have a basic understanding of the trauma response and of our particular way that we've managed it. Shutting down, numbing out, addiction, rage response. There are so many ways that we manage this. We need to find a way to become friendly with ourselves, to be supportive of ourselves, to defuse the inner critic, to be patient and compassionate and kind. We also need to find ways to get in touch with our resilience and strength. The effect of trauma happens mostly in the nervous system and in the primitive brain. That drives a lot of the suffering in our present life. Hypervigilance, dissociation, shutting down, addictions, catastrophic thinking, tension in the body, stress, illnesses. A lot of that is driven by a nervous system that's on red alert, maybe sometimes comes down to amber alert. Our brain has a negativity bias. Neuropsychologist Dr. Rick Hansen describes it as the brain is like Teflon for positive and Velcro for negative. Knowing this is how our system works, that we're always trying to do what's best. Sometimes we get into an adversarial relationship with our body, with our mind, but actually our body and mind are always trying to do the best thing for us. Hypervigilance is all about protecting us and keeping us safe. The recently discovered neuroplasticity gives us the hope that as we work with this, as we release the effect of the trauma, that we can build new brain neural networks for trust and connection. It all boils down to connection. We feel safe when there's an absence of threat and we're connected with ourselves and with other people. The newer science of positive psychology talks about strength and resilience. The 5,000-year-old yoga meditation traditions know a lot about building that in our nervous system. We have relaxation practices. We can work with our breath, both as a cue to what's happening and as a way to calm our nervous system, to build resilience right into our body. We can learn about the inner critic. Why is it that we're always giving ourselves a hard time, that we're driving ourselves in that way, that we're shaming ourselves? Everything that's going on has a reason. And it might not make sense now. It might be something that got us through when we were children. It's not helpful to do now. One of the things about positive psychology is they look at our strengths. My meditation teacher used to say that too. Focus on your strengths and the weaknesses will take care of themselves. Let's do a mindfulness inquiry looking into how we use our strengths and resilience. When we're doing this inquiry, we're always trying to remain aware that we're doing an inquiry. That's why we try to stay aware of our body and of our breath. We watch the thoughts as they go through the mind, and we notice the response in our body. Bring to mind one of your strengths: curiosity, optimism, steadfastness, loyalty, love of learning, and bring to mind a time when you used that strength. Imagine it vividly. The images, sounds, the words, who was there, what was going on. And as you're looking at that and bring it to life in your mind, what's going on in the energy in your body? Let's do an inquiry into something that we're kind of dreading or that we feel will be difficult. It could be anything from getting on an airplane to a family dinner. First, notice what it is that makes you feel uneasy about it. We're going to take this in stages. We'll look at the images that come up, and then we'll bring in our strength. As you're going along, run the tape in your head. At what point in this process are you starting to feel anxious? Maybe your breath is getting more shallow. You're starting to get some catastrophic thoughts. Let's think about walking down the hall towards a meeting. You can hear the voices in the room. There's one person in particular who's always kind of gruff with you. You feel nervous when you talk. You don't think the person likes you very much. So right now, we're not in that situation. We're bringing it to mind. So first look at the images, hear the words. What comes up for you when you start to look at what makes you uncomfortable about this situation? Now, when we look at images, we can see that they're colors and shapes. Images are either still pictures or video clips. And often there's something about it that makes it feel kind of intense. If there's someone in that meeting that you feel uncomfortable around, maybe you'll see their face. Maybe it's a certain look. Maybe that's a familiar look from your childhood. Or maybe it's just that you've had a lot of experiences with this person. Maybe they've ridiculed you in previous meetings. Naturally, we're going to worry that that happens again. So look at the images. There might be one image that stands out, or maybe it's a collection. You could put them all like into a collage, see several at once. As you're looking at the image, see if you could put a frame around it. It helps it to be a little bit more clear that this is an image we're looking at. We're not actually in the situation seeing that. Look to see if there's a heightened response to that image. If there are words, you could hear them, or you could see them as though they're written out, and then look at them like an image. Notice your body, notice your feet on the floor. You could hold your own hand if you like, notice the warmth of your hand. Take a few deeper breaths, and then either do some tapping or tracing. So with tapping, you bring two fingers and tap lightly on your forehead, just above your eyebrows, just in the middle. And as you're tapping, take your attention away from the image and away from the sounds, and just put your attention on the sound of the tapping and the sensation of the tapping on your forehead. Bring your hand down and look at the image again, hear the words. Notice what your response is now. Keep in mind that this is a dress rehearsal. We're not actually in the situation. Pause the recording and take as long as you like with this, tapping or tracing, until the images have lost a lot of their intensity. And keep doing that until there's not much of a response anymore. You can really see those are just words, those are just images. When that's settled down, let's switch over to the positive part. What are the strengths you have that you've already brought to situations like this? What got you through it in the past, and what could you bring to the situation now? Now bring that to life really vividly. See yourself moving through the situation. You're coming down the hall, your body language is strong, confident. You're breathing slowly. It's relaxing your whole body to breathe like that. See yourself coming into the room. Experience what that feels like. You're steady. It might be difficult, but you're managing well. Focus on what it feels like to make it through this step. You're managing. It's okay. Now let that come to rest. It doesn't have to be a perfect resolution. Just let it come to rest once most of the intensity has kind of settled. Think ahead now. What is the next step? Let it come to mind vividly. We have more and new skills and strengths that we can bring to situations that would make the outcome very different than it was in the past. Visualize yourself moving through this in a different way. You're seeing your face, your confidence. You're using your strengths to make it through okay, and maybe even to triumph, to do better than you ever thought you could. And we're reminding ourselves that this is a possibility too. Instead of the usual catastrophic thinking that can take over the mind when we have something coming up that we're dreading, we're doing two different steps with this to give some structure to it. There's something that's difficult for us. We break it down into steps. And we look at the hard part first, the images, the words, the energy. And we do tapping or tracing to take some of the intensity out of that. And then we bring our perspective into the strengths. How have we made it through difficult situations in the past? And how could we improve on that? So sometimes we'll have made it through by dissociating or getting angry or shutting down. This time, doing it with mindfulness, maybe we could use our kindness towards ourselves. Our curiosity, maybe. Why is this happening in this way? What's going on in the room? What would motivate somebody else to act the way they are? And if you notice that you're pushing it away or your inner critic is having a field day, see if you could hold that with some kind of kindness. Sometimes that's just how we feel. Could you be kind and patient and understanding? By staying grounded in our body and breath, it helps us to remind ourselves that we're doing a dress rehearsal. This isn't actually happening now. What it allows us to do is to see what might trigger us, what we might find most difficult when we're actually in the situation. Then we can do tapping or tracing on the images and the words. We can be present with the energy in our body. We can notice the space around that. And then when we feel the intensity is reduced, we turn it around. What are some of the strengths you could bring to the situation? Put yourself in the movie. See your body language. See yourself as you're feeling more confident. You can do this. Take your time. Bring all of the elements together. What you hear, smell, touch, see. Experience that vividly, having this experience of managing your difficult situation by using your strengths. One thing I know from my own experience and from working with so many people is that we all have the capacity to heal. The fact that you're listening to these words, that you're taking this course, means that you're interested, that you have hope. I used to be so stressed. My body was uptight. I had so much contraction and pain in my body. My shoulders were always up around my ears. My mind was continually absorbed in some kind of catastrophic thinking. What if this happened? What if that happened? How could I handle that? I was so shut down, I didn't even know I was anxious. I just felt like I was calm, and in reality, I was numb. 25 years ago, I found meditation, and I started on this healing journey. The last 8 years of working directly with healing trauma brought me the rest of the way. I know it can happen for you too. Our systems are relatively easy to understand. Human beings need connection. We need to feel like we matter. We need to feel like someone cares about us, that we'll be protected. And if that's not the case, we're afraid. If there's any kind of fear from abuse, neglect, no matter why it happened, our body responds to fear. We form beliefs based on our experiences. We can form new beliefs based on new experiences. I haven't found a magic pill that will instantly heal trauma. What I have found is a reliable time-release pill. If we work at this, if we look at our own system, if we build our resilience and strength, we will heal. We can understand this. We can update our system from when we were a child and pretty helpless to our life now as an adult, using our intelligence, our adult mind, our cognitive function, using our willingness to be kind, to transform a relationship of aggression into one of patience and compassion for ourselves. This opens up the world for ourselves and for other people as well. Go back and listen to these recordings as often as you need to. Do the practices, especially the breathing and relaxation practices, and the ones where we build resilience and strength in our mind. We don't actually have to follow catastrophic thinking. Through mindfulness practices, we recognize it for what it is. It's a fear response, a trauma response. And we know other ways now that are more effective in calming our system, downregulating our emotions, and providing the stability, the steadiness, the emotional maturity that we need in life. There is definitely a way to heal our past trauma. I'm very thankful to be on this journey, and that you are too.